The following is a reading from the diary of Jonathan Edwards. December 18th, 1722, age 19. This day made the 35th resolution. The reason why I in the least question my interest in God's love and favor is because I cannot speak so fully to my experience of that preparatory work of which the vines speak. Number two, I do not remember that I experienced regeneration exactly in those steps in which the vines say it is generally wrought. Number three, I do not feel the Christian graces sensibly enough, particularly faith. I fear they are only such hypocritical outside affections which wicked men may feel as well as others. They do not seem to be sufficiently inward, full, sincere, entire, and hearty. They do not seem so substantial and so wrought into my very nature as I could wish. Number four, because I am sometimes guilty of sins of omission and commission. Lately I have doubted whether I do not transgress in evil speaking. This day I resolved, no. December 19th. This day made the 36th resolution. Lately I have been very much perplexed by seeing the doctrine of different degrees and glory questioned, but now have almost got over the difficulty. December 20th. This day somewhat questioned whether I had not been guilty of negligence yesterday and this morning, but resolved, no. December 21st. Friday. This day and yesterday I was exceedingly dull, dry, and dead. December 22nd, Saturday, this day revived by God's Holy Spirit, affected with a sense of the excellency of holiness, felt more exercise of love to Christ than usual, have also felt sensible repentance for sin, because it was committed against so merciful and good a God. This night made the 37th resolution. Sabbath night, December 23rd, made the 38th resolution. Monday, December 24th, higher thoughts than usual of the excellency of Christ and His kingdom. Concluded to observe at the end of every month a number of breaches of resolutions, to see whether they increase or diminish. To begin from this day and to compute from that the weekly account, my monthly increase, and out of the whole, my yearly increase, beginning from New Year's days. Wednesday, December 26th. Early in the morning yesterday was hindered by the headache all day, though I hope I did not lose much. Made an addition to the 37th resolution concerning weeks, months, and years. At night I made the 33rd resolution. Saturday, December 29th, about sunset this day, dull and lifeless. 1722 and 23. Tuesday, January 1st. Have been dull for several days. Examined whether I have not been guilty of negligence today. And resolved, no. Wednesday, January 2nd. Dull. I find by experience that let me make resolutions and do what I will. With never so many inventions, it is all nothing and to no purpose at all, without the motions of the Spirit of God. For if the Spirit of God should be as much withdrawn from me always, as for the week past, notwithstanding all I do, I should not grow, but should languish and miserably fade away. I perceive if God should withdraw His Spirit a little more, I should not hesitate to break my resolutions, and should soon arrive at my old state. There is no dependence on myself. Our resolutions may be at the highest one day, and yet, the next day, we may be in a miserable, dead condition, not at all like the same person who resolved. So that it is to no purpose to resolve except we depend on the grace of God. For, if it were not for His mere grace, one might be a very good man one day and a very wicked one the next. I find also by experience that there is no guessing out the ends of providence, in particular dispensations towards me, any otherwise than as afflictions come as corrections for sin. And God intends when we meet with them to desire us to look back on our ways and see wherein we have done amiss and lament that particular sin and all our sins before him, knowing this also, that all things shall work together for our good, not knowing in what way indeed, but trusting in God. Saturday evening, January 5th. A little redeemed from a long dreadful dullness about reading the scriptures. This week have been unhappily low in the weekly account. And what are the reasons of it? Abundance of listlessness and sloth. And if this should continue much longer, I perceive that other sins will begin to discover themselves. It used to appear to me that I had not much sin remaining, but now I perceive that there are great remainders of sin. Where may it not bring me to if God should leave me? Sin is not enough mortified. Without the influences of the Spirit of God, the old serpent would begin to rouse up himself from his frozen state and would come to life again. Resolve that I have been negligent in two things, in not striving enough in duty and in not forcing myself upon religious thoughts. Sabbath, January 6th, at night. Much concern about the improvement of precious time. Intend to live in continual mortification without ceasing, and even to weary myself by this as long as I am in this world, and never to expect or desire any worldly ease or pleasure. Monday, January 7th at night, made the 40th resolution. Tuesday, January 8th, in the morning, had higher thoughts than usual of the excellency of Christ, and felt an unusual repentance of sin therefrom. Wednesday, January 9th at night, decayed. I am sometimes apt to think that I have a great deal more of holiness than I really have. I find now and then that abominable corruption which is directly contrary to what I read of eminent Christians. I do not seem to be half so careful to improve time, to do everything quick and in as short a time as I possibly can, nor to be perpetually engaged to think about religion, as I was yesterday and the day before, nor indeed as I have been at certain times, perhaps a 12-month ago. If my resolutions of that nature from that time had always been kept alive and awake, how much better might I have been than I now am? How deceitful is my heart! I take up a strong resolution, but how soon does it weaken? Thursday, January 10th, about noon, recovering. It is a great dishonor to Christ, in whom I hope I have an interest, to be uneasy at my worldly state and condition, or when I see the prosperity of others, and that all things go easy with them. The world is smooth to them. They are very happy in many respects, and very prosperous, or advance to much honor to grudge them their prosperity, or envy them on account of it, or to be in the least uneasy at it, to wish and long for the same prosperity, and to desire that is should ever be so with me. Wherefore concluded always to rejoice in everyone's prosperity, and not to pretend to expect or desire it for myself, and to expect no happiness of that nature as long as I live, but to depend on afflictions and to betake myself entirely to another happiness. I think I find myself much more sprightly and healthy both in body and mind for my self-denial in eating, drinking, and sleeping. I think it would be advantageous every morning to consider my business and temptations, and the sins to which I shall be exposed on that day, and to make a resolution how to improve the day and avoid those sins. And so at the beginning of every week, month, and year, I never knew before what was meant by not setting our hearts on those things. It is not to care about them, nor to depend upon them, nor to afflict ourselves with the fear of losing them, nor to please ourselves with the expectation of attaining them, or with the hopes of their continuance. At night, made the 41st resolution. Saturday, January 12th, in the morning I have this day solemnly renewed my baptismal covenant and self-dedication, which I renewed when I was taken into the communion of the church. I have been before God and have given myself all that I am and have to God, so that I am not in any respect my own. I can challenge no right in this understanding, this will, these affections which are in me. Neither have I any right to this body or any of its members, no right to this tongue, these hands, these feet, no right to these senses, these eyes, these ears, this smell or this taste. I have given myself clear away, and I have not retained anything as my own. I gave myself to God in my baptism, and I have been this morning to him and told him that I gave myself wholly to him. I have given every power to him, so that for the future I'll challenge no right in myself and no respect whatever. I've expressly promised him, and I do now promise Almighty God that by his grace I will not. I have this morning told him that I did take him for my whole portion and felicity, looking on nothing else as any part of my happiness, nor acting as if it were, and his law for the constant rule of my obedience, and would fight with all my might against the world, the flesh, and the devil, to the end of my life, and that I did believe in Jesus Christ, and did receive him as a prince and a savior, and that I would adhere to the faith and obedience of the gospel, however hazardous and difficult the confession and practice of it may be, and that I did receive the blessed Spirit as my teacher, sanctifier, and only comforter, and cherish all his motions to enlighten, purify, confirm, comfort, and assist me. This I have done, and I pray God for the sake of Christ to look upon it as a self-dedication, and to receive me now as entirely his own, and to deal with me in all respects as such, whether he afflicts me or prospers me, or whatever he pleases to do with me, who am his. Now, henceforth, I am not to act in any respect as my own. I shall act as my own if I ever make use of any of my powers to anything that is not to the glory of God, and do not make the glorifying of him my whole and entire business. If I murmur in the least at affliction, if I grieve at the prosperity of others, if I am in any way uncharitable, if I am angry because of injuries, if I revenge them, if I do anything purely to please myself, or if I avoid anything for the sake of my own ease, if I omit anything because it is great self-denial, if I trust to myself, if I take any of the praise of the good that I do, or that God does by me, or if I am in any way proud. This day made the 42nd and 43rd resolutions. Whether or not any other end ought to have any influence at all on any of my actions, or whether any action ought to be any otherwise in any respect than it would be, if nothing else but religion had the least influence on my mind, wherefore I make the 44th resolution. Question. Whether any delight or satisfaction ought to be allowed because any other end is obtained beside a religious one? In the afternoon I answer yes, because if we should never allow ourselves to rejoice, but because we have obtained a religious end, we should never rejoice at the sight of friends. We should not allow ourselves any pleasure in our food, whereby the animal spirits would be withdrawn and good digestion hindered. But the query is to be answered thus: we never ought to allow any joy or sorrow, but what helps religion. Wherefore I make the 45th resolution. The reason why I so soon grow lifeless and unfit for the business I am about, I have found out, is only because I have been used to allow myself to leave off for the sake of ease, and so I have acquired a habit of expecting ease, and therefore when I think I have exercised myself a great while, I cannot keep myself to it any longer, because I expect to be released as my due and right, and then I am deceived, as if I were really tired and weary, whereas if I did not expect ease and was resolved to occupy myself by business as much as I could, I should continue with the same vigor at my business without vacation time to rest. Thus I have found it in reading the scriptures, and thus I have found it in prayer, and thus I believe it to be in getting sermons by heart and in other things. At night, this week, the weekly account rose higher than ordinary. It is suggested to me that too constant a mortification and too vigorous application to religion may be prejudicial to health, but nevertheless I will plainly feel it and experience it before I cease on this account. It is no matter how much tired and weary I am, if my health is not impaired. Sabbath day, January 13th, I plainly feel that if I should continue to go on as from the beginning of the last week hitherto, I should continually grow and increase in grace. After the afternoon meeting, made in addition to the 45th resolution, at noon, I remember I thought that I loved to be a member of Christ and not anything distinct, but only a part so as to have no separate interest or pleasure of my own. At night, resolved to endeavor fully to understand 1 Corinthians 7, 29-32, and to act according to it. Monday, January 14th, about 10 o'clock in the morning, made this book and put these papers in it. The dedication which I made of myself to God on Saturday last has been exceedingly useful to me. I thought I had a more spiritual insight into the Scriptures when reading the 8th of Romans than ever before. At night, great instances of mortification are deep wounds given to the body of sin, hard blows which make him stagger and reel. We thereby get strong ground and footing against him. He is the weaker ever after, and we have easier work with him the next time. He grows cowardly, and we can easily cause him to give way, until at length we find it easy work with him and can kill him at pleasure. While we live without great instances of mortification and self-denial, the old man keeps about where he was, for he is sturdy and obstinate, and will not stir for small blows. This, without doubt, is one great reason why many Christians do not sensibly increase in grace. After the greatest mortifications, I always find the greatest comfort, wrote the 63rd resolution. Such little things as Christians commonly do will not evince much increase of grace. We must do great things for God. It will be best when I find that I have lost any former ancient good motions or actions to take notice of it if I can remember them. Tuesday, January 15th, about 2 or 3 o'clock. I have been all this time decaying. It seemed yesterday, the day before, and Saturday, that I should always retain the same resolutions to the same height. But alas, how soon do I decay? A whole week, how infirm, how unable to do anything of myself. What a poor, inconsistent being. What a miserable wretch without the assistance of the Spirit of God. While I stand, I am ready to think that I stand by my own strength and upon my own legs. And I am ready to triumph over my spiritual enemies, as if it were I myself that caused them to flee, when alas I am but a poor infant, upheld by Jesus Christ, who holds me up and gives me liberty to smile, to see my enemies flee, when he drives them before me. And so I laugh as though I myself did it, when it is only Jesus Christ leads me along and fights himself against my enemies. And now the Lord has a little left me. How weak do I find myself? Oh, let it teach me to depend less on myself, to be more humble, and to give more to the praise of my ability to Jesus Christ. The heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The occasion of my decaying is a little melancholy. My spirits are depressed because I fear that I lost some friendship the last night. And my spirits being depressed, my resolutions have lost their strength. I differ today from yesterday in these things. I do not resolve anything today half so strongly. I am not so perpetually thinking of renewing my resolutions as I was then. I am not half so vigorous as I was then. Nor am I half so careful to do everything with vigor. Then, I kept continually acting, but now I do things slowly, and satisfy myself by thinking of religion in the meantime. I am not so careful to go from one business to another. I felt humiliation about sunset. What shall I do in order that I may, with a good grace, fall into Christian discourse and conversation? At night, the next time I am in such a lifeless frame, I will force myself to go rapidly from one thing to another, and to do those things with vigor, and which vigor would ever be useful. The things which take off my mind when bent on religion are commonly some remarkable change or alteration, journeys, change of place, change of business, change of studies, and change of other circumstances, or something that makes me melancholy, or some sin. Thursday, January 17th, about 3 o'clock. Overwhelmed with melancholy. Friday, January 18th at night, beginning to endeavor to recover out of the death I have been in for these several days. Sabbath day, January 20th at night. The last week I was sunk so low that I fear it will be a long time before I am recovered. I fell exceedingly low in the weekly account. I find my heart so deceitful that I am almost discouraged from making any more resolutions. Wherein have I been negligent in the week past, and how could I have done better to help the dreadful low estate in which I am sunk? Monday, January 21st, before sunrise, answered the preceding questions thus. I ought to have spent my time in bewailing my sins and in singing psalms, especially psalms or hymns of penitence. These duties being most suited to the frame I was in, I do not spend time enough in endeavoring to affect myself with the glories of Christianity. Fell short in the monthly account. It seems to me that I am fallen from my former sense of the pleasantness of religion. Tuesday, February 5th, at night. I have thought that this being so exceedingly careful and so particularly anxious to force myself to think of religion at all times has exceedingly distracted my mind and made me altogether unfit for that and everything else. I have thought that this caused the dreadful low condition I was in on the 15th of January. I think that I stretched myself further than I could bear and so broke. But now it seems to me, though I know not why, that I do not do enough to prepare for another world. I do not seem to press forward to fight and wrestle as the apostles used to speak. I do not seem so greatly and constantly to mortify and deny myself, as the mortification of which they speak represents. Therefore, wherein ought I to do more in this way? I answer, I am again grown too careless about eating, drinking, and sleeping, not careful enough about evil speaking. Saturday, February 16th. I do certainly know that I love holiness, such as the gospel prescribes. At night. For the time past of my life I have been negligent, in that I have not sufficiently kept up that part of divine worship, singing the praise of God in secret and with company. I have been negligent this month past in these three things. I have not been watchful enough over my appetites in eating and drinking, in rising too late in the morning, and in not applying myself with sufficient application to the duty of secret prayer. Sabbath day, February 17th, near sunset. Renewedly promise that I will accept of God for my whole portion, and that I will be contented whatever else I am denied. I will not murmur nor be grieved whatever prosperity upon any account I see others enjoy, and I am denied. To this I have lately acted the contrary. Thursday, February 21st. I perceive that I never yet have adequately known what was meant by being weaned from the world, by not laying up treasures on earth but in heaven, by not having our portion in this life, by making the concerns of another life our whole business, by taking God for our whole portion. I find my heart in great part yet adheres to the earth. Oh, that it might be quite separated from thence. I find when I have power and reputation as others, I am uneasy, and it does not satisfy me to tell me that I have chosen God for my whole portion, and that I have promised to rest entirely contented with him. Saturday, February 23rd, I find myself miserably negligent, and that I might do twice the business that I do if I were set upon it. See how soon my thoughts of this manner will be differing from what they now are. I have been indulging a horrid laziness a good while and did not know it. I can do seven times as much in the same time now as I can at other times, not because my faculties are in better tune, but because of the fire of diligence that I feel burning within me. If I could but always continue so, I should not meet with one quarter of the trouble. I should run the Christian race much better and should go out of the world a much better man. Saturday, March 2nd. Oh, how much more base and vile am I when I feel pride working in me than when I am in a more humble disposition of mind. How much, how exceedingly much more lovely is and humble than a proud disposition. I now plainly perceive it and am really sensible of it. How immensely more pleasant is an humble delight than a high thought of myself. How much better do I feel when I am truly humbling myself than when I am pleasing myself with my own perfections. Oh, how much pleasanter is humility than pride! Oh, that God would fill me with exceeding great humility, and that he would evermore keep me from all pride. The pleasures of humility are really the most refined, inward, and exquisite delights in the world. How hateful is a proud man! How hateful is a worm that lifts up itself with pride! What a foolish, silly, miserable, blind, deceived, poor worm am I when pride works! At night, I have lately been negligent as to reading the Scriptures, notwithstanding my resolutions on Saturday. I have not been sedulous and diligent enough. Wednesday, March 6, near sunset, regarded the doctrines of election, free grace, our inability to do anything without the grace of God. Holiness is entirely throughout the work of the Spirit of God, with greater pleasure than ever before. Wednesday forenoon, May 1st. Last night I came home after my melancholy parting from New York. I have always, in every different state of life I have hitherto been in, thought that the troubles and difficulties of that state were greater than those of any other state that I propose to be in. And when I have altered, with assurance of mending myself, I have still thought the same, yea, that the difficulties of that state are greater than those of that I left last. Lord, grant that from hence I may learn to withdraw thoughts, affections, desires, and expectations entirely from the world, and may fix them upon the heavenly state where there is fullness of joy, where reigns heavenly, sweet, calm, and delightful love without alloy, where there are continually the dearest expressions of this love, where there is the enjoyment of this love without ever parting, and where those persons who appear so lovely in this world will be inexpressibly more lovely and full of love to us. How sweetly will those who thus mutually love join together in singing the praises of God and the Lamb. How full will it fill us with joy to think that this enjoyment, these sweet exercises, will never cease or come to an end, but will last to all eternity. Remember, after journeys, removals, overturnings, and alterations in the state of my life, to reflect and consider whether therein I have managed the best way possible respecting my soul, and before such alterations, if foreseen, to resolve how to act. Often since I have lived in this town, I have had very affecting views of my own sinfulness and vileness, very frequently to such a degree as to hold me in a kind of loud weeping, sometimes for a considerable time together, so that I have often been forced to shut myself up. I have had a vastly greater sense of my own wickedness and the badness of my heart than ever I had before my conversion. It has often appeared to me that if God should mark iniquity against me, I should appear the very worst of all mankind, of all that have been since the beginning of the world to this time, and that I should have by far the lowest place in hell. When others that have come to talk with me about their soul concerns have expressed a sense they have had of their own wickedness by saying that it seemed to them that they were as bad as the devil himself, I thought their expression seemed exceeding faint and feeble to represent my wickedness. My wickedness, as I am in myself, has long appeared to me perfectly ineffable, swallowing up all thought and imagination, like an infinite deluge or mountains over my head. I know not how to express better what my sins appear to me to be than by heaping infinite upon infinite, and multiplying infinite by infinite. Very often for these many years these expressions are in my mind and in my mouth. Infinite upon infinite, infinite upon infinite. When I look into my heart and take a view of my wickedness, it looks like an abyss, infinitely deeper than hell. And it appears to me that were it not for free grace exalted and raised up to the infinite height of all the fullness and glory of the great Jehovah, and the arm of his power and grace stretched forth in all the majesty of his power, and all the glory of his sovereignty, I should appear sunk down in my sins below hell itself, far beyond the sight of everything, but the eye of sovereign grace that can pierce even down to such a depth. And yet it seems to me that my conviction of sin is exceedingly small and faint. It is enough to amaze me that I have no more sense of my sin. I know certainly that I have very little sense of my sinfulness. When I have had turns of weeping and crying for my sins, I thought I knew at the time that my repentance was nothing to my sin. I've greatly longed of late for a broken heart and to lie low before God. And when I ask for humility, I cannot bear the thoughts of being no more humble than other Christians. It seems to me that though their degrees of humility may be suitable for them, yet it would be a vile self-exaltation in me not to be the lowest in humility of all mankind. Others speak of their longing to be humbled to the dust. That may be a proper expression for them, but I always think of myself that I ought, and it is an expression that has long been natural for me to use in prayer, to lie infinitely low before God. And it is affecting to think how ignorant I was when a young Christian of the bottomless, infinite depths of wickedness, pride, hypocrisy, and deceit left in my heart. I have a much greater sense of my universal, exceeding dependence on God's grace and strength, and mere good pleasure of late, than I used formerly to have, and have experienced more of an abhorrence of my own righteousness. The very thought of any joy arising in me on any consideration of my own amiableness, performances, or experiences, or in any goodness of heart or life, is nauseous and detestable to me. And yet I am greatly afflicted with a proud and self-righteous spirit, much more sensibly than I used to be formerly. I see that serpent rising and putting forth its head continually everywhere all around me. Well, it seems to me that in some respects I was a far better Christian for 2 or 3 years after my first conversion than I am now, and lived in a more constant delight and pleasure. Yet of late years I have had a more full and constant sense of the absolute sovereignty of God, and a delight in that sovereignty, and have had more of a sense of the glory of Christ as a mediator revealed in the gospel. On one Saturday night in particular, I had such a discovery of the excellency of the gospel above all other doctrines that I could not but say to myself, "This is my chosen light, my chosen doctrine." And of Christ, "This is my chosen prophet." It appeared sweet beyond all expression to follow Christ and to be taught and enlightened and instructed by him, to learn of him and to live to him. Another Saturday night, I had such a sense how sweet and blessed a thing it was to walk in the way of duty, to do that which was right and meet to be done, and agreeable to the holy mind of God, that it caused me to break forth into a kind of loud weeping, which held me some time, so that I was forced to shut myself up and fasten the doors. I could not but, as it were, cry out, "How happy are they who do that which is right in the sight of God. They are blessed indeed, they are the happy ones." I had at the same time a very affecting sense how fitting and suitable it was that God should govern the world and order all things according to his own pleasure, and I rejoiced in it that God reigned and that his will was done. From the diary and the life of Jonathan Edwards.